He is a good Father, and we are loved by Him. Glory to His name. Good to see you today. Would you find in your Bibles Proverbs chapter 10? We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12, Proverbs chapter 10. Thank you so much to our praise band leading us in worship today. We're glad to see you today. We recognize it's a fall break for Auburn City Schools and usually has an effect, but you came and you're here today. We're glad to see you, and we're excited to be able to be together, be able to worship together, have Bible study, and also be able to proclaim God's Word together. This is a Welcome to God Camp, so you're in the midst of it whether you know it or not. And kind of the theme of our sermon series, learning biblical skills for living. And as we do, we've also encouraged you to be reading a proverb a day. If you've not already started, today's a good day. We've got about a dozen days left, I guess, if you count today and the 31st, and I encourage you to do that. And maybe just to keep going, it is an appropriate time. Proverbs is, of course, a book of wisdom, and probably all of us would know we need wisdom. We think about our votes coming up in our country, and we need wisdom certainly for world in which we live. We recognize church needs wisdom. You know, we're coming to into 2025. Back in 2020, actually presented it maybe in 2021. We did a five-year vision we believe that the Lord has for His church. He has done and is doing abundantly and excessively more than we could ever have asked or imagined. And we're thankful for that. And now it's time, we believe, maybe to see, Lord, what's next? What would you have us to do? So we encourage you to be seeking the Lord's wisdom and help us to do that individually and as a church. And then in your home, probably your family life, things that you're facing, decisions that you need to make. And no place better to be God's Word, no better place also to be in the book of Proverbs as well. We're going to read one of those chapters today, or at least parts of that chapter. Keep your Bibles open. We may have some other verses around. We're going to read the first 12 verses. Proverbs chapter 10. This now is the Word of God. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word today. So, my wife and I, this week, we went to picked up some Chinese food. And, of course, with that comes a fortune cookie. And so, I thought that I would actually, for an object lesson for us today, actually open the fortune cookie and read it to you here today. Everybody's excited to see what the fortune cookie and what it might say. So, we've got it here. It's open. You know, I'm always anxious because I don't know what it's going to say, and you will see. All right. Do not listen to anyone. You're still an okay preacher. Okay, that's not exactly what it says, but. The only outfit you ever need to wear, confidence, is actually what it says. Somebody said they were distracted by the cookie in the last service, so I'll put it in my pocket right here, and if you'd like it later, feel free to grab that, if anybody that would want that. And this is an object lesson for us to be able to understand and let you know that the reading of Proverbs or any of God's Word, it's not a fortune cookie. In fact, I kind of plan maybe to smash the cookie on the pulpit and say, Proverbs is not a fortune cookie, but it's really not my style, and maybe just be a little bit messy. So just Proverbs chapter 10 actually begins a new section of this book here for us today, Proverbs 1 through 9. It's kind of all of an introduction that helps us to be able to understand, have a description and encouragement to follow. If you were here last week, we used the words wisdom woman and don't follow lady folly, both personified by Solomon, who's educating his son and using an illustration of wisdom and foolishness, and said, son, if you're going to follow one, be sure to be attracted to one and not the other. Proverbs 10 and following are more in line with probably what we think of when we think of Proverbs, short one-sentence sayings or truth that declare wisdom and often contrast good versus evil, truth versus deception or lies, most often with a contrast in each sentence prepared for us in English with a comma. Forgive me if what we say here today seems to be too basic, but until I began to understand a better way for me to read this unique book, it became for me much more than a fortune cookie. Instead, it became to be able to understand in a way that I could grasp more of the wisdom of the Almighty and Sovereign God. So here are some important basics for Proverbs. How to read Proverbs. You may have your notes following along. Read Proverbs as if it is the inspired Word of God. Read Proverbs as if it is the inspired Word of God, because it is. From Genesis to Revelation, everything in between, we recognize that it is the Word of God and we approach it that way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 reads, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Notice, all of Scripture, certainly Proverbs, all of it is inspired. It's a word that actually means God-breathed, and maybe some of your translations actually say it is God-breathed. Now, you could be inspired. We could be inspired to write a book or to write a song, draw a picture, and have inspiration maybe that does this, but this is unique in the fact that not just the gentlemen, the ones who wrote it, were inspired, but the very words were God-breathed, and these are the Word of God. We'll continue to emphasize that Bible is the only full authoritative written word that we can have and look at and read and apply. Notice the very first verse that we read, Proverbs 10, verse 1, the first part of that, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon." It's the way it begins in Proverbs 1, 1 also. But we recognize, even though they're the Proverbs or the writings of Solomon, that we see these as the very wisdom of God through Solomon. Some of it is pretty clear, pretty easy to understand, and we can look at it very literally. As a matter of fact, look at verse 9, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. It says there, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out." It's understandable. If we walk in the ways of the Lord, we can walk with confidence. I can't believe that's exactly what the fortune cookie said, but it has only, we just need to wear confidence. But the only way we find confidence is through walking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of it can be taken figuratively so that there may be many ways in which we might be able to apply. One of my favorite proverbs, maybe particularly favorite to be able to repeat to others, is Proverbs 14:4, where it says, "Where there are no oxen, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the use of an ox." I use it usually when people are complaining, maybe that the children are too loud, the youth have left a mess, or people keep bringing their grande spice latte into the sanctuary and keep spilling it just about every week that we have that. And when somebody tells me that they complain, I might say, "Where there are no oxen, the trough is clean." And usually people look at me with a blank stare. Yeah, you got it, much like that you have now. But meaning that aren't we glad that we have children that are loud? Aren't we glad we have youth that sometimes make a mess? And aren't we glad to have people that come, even if they're bringing their preppy drinks? But try to keep your top on it and maybe try not to spill it and be okay. Jesus used Proverbs, talking about its authoritativeness. And we remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Well, that sounds like what Solomon wrote, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12, "Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor." Well, don't those things sound alike? Here, Solomon wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus came on the scene in the flesh. Solomon wrote these words. Well, surely Jesus knew Proverbs. Should he have cited that he was saying this was from Proverbs? Here's one of Solomon's Proverbs. I mean, did Jesus plagiarize? Oh, yeah. Jesus wrote the very words. Solomon might have been the scribe, but these are the words of our God who has come in the flesh. Read Proverbs also as if it is a parent teaching a child. As if it is a parent teaching a child, and we are all God's children. As we've talked about before, Solomon writes, giving wise advice to his son. And as you may have noticed in your own reading, or even the first 12 verses of chapter 10, every chapter from here on out until the last couple of chapters, the verses will jump from one subject to another with seemingly no relation to the other verses that are around it. Now, there are some Bible scholars who have identified maybe patterns in each chapter as far as moving from one subject to the other. But to the average reader, like me, even though that we know that this is the inspired word of God, it seems kind of random as far as moving from one subject to another. The unexpected way in which a particular theme appears may actually drive home the intended lesson. If related proverbs always stood together well in a cluster of verses, the effect could be lost. But believing that these appear just as the Lord intended for a unique kind of reading from the rest of the Bible. Many proverbs have a contrast or a poetic flair to it, like in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the last part of that verse, to where it says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother." See the contrast of the wise son versus the foolish son, which is kind of the theme of all of Proverbs. But it doesn't mean that the mother's not glad when the son becomes wise. It doesn't mean the father's not sorrowful when the son does foolish things. It's just a poetic way of showing the opposite effect. This is also a traditional or even a biblical Hebrew way of teaching. Some of you might remember the teachings of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Speaking of the commandments of God and how they are to be passed from one generation to the other. It says in Deuteronomy 6:7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Most parents don't decide that they're going to get up one day, and on Monday, I'm going to teach all my children about family and marriage. On Tuesday, I'm going to teach them about money and finance. On Wednesday, I'm going to teach them about relationships. Okay, I might do that, but most parents probably would not do that. More, we're looking for those teachable moments. Those times when we rise up, when we lie down, when we sit around the house, when we are on the way, that we might be able to teach such things. And if you read a chapter a day, you kind of get a sense of that's what exactly is what's going on here with Solomon. And sometimes you'll find lessons repeated. We did in these verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 6. It says, "Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." And then again in verse 11, it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." You see the repetition of the words. And then Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." And then again in verse 10, it says, "Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin." Obviously, repetition is for a reason that is given. And you and I sometimes do the same, maybe particularly with our children. We'll say something like, "Son, remember I told you, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey." Or we'll hold up a garment and say, "Dear, didn't I tell you that when you wash colored clothes, always do it in cold water? Remember always to measure twice and cut once." Or as Jesus told us time and time over and over again when he told us that we will be known by our love as followers of Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, also, read Proverbs as if you were made righteous by Jesus. Read Proverbs as if you were made righteous by Jesus, not by doing works. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2, we read earlier, "Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers them from death." And the rest of Proverbs will be describing the difference between the wicked and the righteous. Like night and day, there's perhaps not another book in Scripture that paints a greater picture of the way of the wicked versus the way of the righteous. However, following these guidelines will not make you or I righteous. Paul told us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." We're only made righteous by the blood of Christ. It's by his grace through faith we're saved and not of ourselves. We have a greater incentive to search the Scriptures and see how we can make application to better serve our Lord and Savior. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 that we read a moment ago says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And then what does it say? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the one who is the follower of the Lord Jesus, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Proverbs is a great resource so that you might be a more complete follower of Jesus, equipped for the Lord, for the work that the Lord has for you. If you're here today or someone listening today, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, reading Proverbs can give lots of wisdom for living for all people, whether they're followers of Jesus or not. You could follow the teachings of Proverbs and perhaps be healthier, live longer lives, be better financial things, all kinds of things. But even if you followed all the good advice found in Scripture, and it might help you for better living, you still fall short of what is needed in order to be able to get to heaven and be able to know God personally. Hopefully the contrast between the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous will cause all of us to see a need to have a growing relationship with Jesus. The greatest wisdom in the world is to know the answer to this question: what must I do to be saved? You must believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must ask Him for forgiveness of sin and place your faith in Him for today and for the future. If you have not done so, then I believe that you're here today or someone's listening today because the Lord is knocking on your heart's door so that you might be able to let Him come in and begin that relationship. There's one other way that you need to know how to read Proverbs. Read Proverbs as if with a teachable spirit. This will be key to Proverbs and all of the Bible to being a growing disciple of Jesus. Way back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, we read it a couple of weeks ago, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." Several times in Proverbs, it seems that there's a repetition of words or the form of words that are used, such as more than once it says, "Let the wise gain wisdom." We recognize that wisdom is for those who want to keep learning or know that they have not arrived as of yet, and there's still more to learn. Proverbs 10, verse 8, we read part of it a moment ago, "The wise of the heart will receive commandments." Who receives more wisdom? Well, certainly those who are teachable, but the one who receives more wisdom is the wise. We are the ones who are wise. The psalmist said in Psalm 32 and verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." We have a great and awesome teacher who has all wisdom and insight. He's seeking to give us instruction. You've been encouraged to read a proverb a day, corresponding with the day of the month. Your approach will make all the difference to come and approach it with a teachable spirit, believing that the Lord has a verse or maybe verses or something that is particularly for you, something that will particularly help you. Some of those will be dramatic and very clear. Some may seem a little bit more mundane or maybe as a reminder. But I guarantee you, if you stay in the Word, even if you stay in just in Proverbs, and some of you may have done this before to where you spent a year in Proverbs and read it over and over again 12 times throughout the year, I can guarantee you, for I found this to be true, that you'll find something different, something every time that you read it that you might be able to apply to your everyday life. It's why I don't want to miss a Sunday to be able to worship and to be with you all. It's why I don't want to miss a day of approaching the Lord and approaching and being spending time in His Word, because it may just be the time and may just be the day in which the Lord really does have something. And we believe that every time that we approach God in His Word, it is true. The definition of a disciple, which we are disciples of Christ if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, it is to be a learner. We are learners in Christ. Being under His tutelage is liberating. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So we read Proverbs not so that we might be able to get to heaven, not so that we might be able to know Jesus, but so that we might be able to know Him better, and so that we might become more and more like Him. Well, let's take these next few minutes and let's put it into practice. This is Proverbs 101. Those of us, we're living in a collegiate town, so we understand this is the basic of Proverbs perhaps. We'll look closer at Proverbs 10 and make application to some of the subjects that are mentioned here. We're not looking at all the subjects in Proverbs, not even all the ones in chapter 10, but we're going to look at some of these and see what application we can make. We'll use some other proverbs as well as some scripture from the New Testament, all the wealth that we might learn about certain subjects that are mentioned. But remembering the big picture for us today, it is the main lesson, that is that we can trust in the wisdom of God. So with the attitude of a speech of a teachable spirit, let's ask the question, Lord, teach us the basics, first of all, of money and work. Teach us the basics of money and work. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, read it a moment ago. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Surely Proverbs is known for telling the difference between the lazy and the diligent. Proverbs chapter 6 is the one that is known where he says, consider the ant, you sluggard. When it comes to money and finance, Proverbs was often quoted. Previous generations, some of you might remember the name of Larry Burkett, is often on the radio talking about money matters. In this generation, Proverbs is often quoted by one that's a little more known today, that is by Dave Ramsey, as well as many others. Great practical advice. And this is where we understand the difference between a promise and a principle. This is not a promise that if you work hard, if you're a good Christian, that you will be rich or that you will be wealthy. But there's a general principle that those who will work will reap some benefits. It's also generally true that the lazy or the slackard will come to disappointment. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. It says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. Are all wise, hardworking Christians going to be wealthy? Of course not. Didn't seem that the disciples were very wealthy, physically or financially. We could spiritualize this and say, well, they were wealthy in other ways, and they were. But the general principle is that we were made to work. And we are to use what God gave us, our hands and our feet and our minds, so we might be able to make a living, might be able to take care of our families as well as others. There are plenty of Christians who worked hard, were either treated unjustly, or maybe they lived in a desperate part of the world and suffered poverty. Still, God cares for each one and is at work to provide. We should know that whatever we do, the greater reward is not of this earth or of this world, and the greater reward may be in the future as well as walking with Christ today. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Thus, Proverbs gives good advice for anyone, but for followers of Jesus, work is not work, just work any longer. We're to work as if we are working for the Lord. Even if you don't feel that your work has great significance for kingdom purposes and you're working to provide so that you might be able to provide and also may be able to do other things for kingdom purposes. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. But I read nowhere to where he says that tent making sure did help the kingdom. But he was a tent maker so that he might be able, one, we know that he met others, Aquila and Priscilla also were tent makers, and so that he might be able to provide resources. And for the Apostle Paul, he was able to work from home as well as on his missionary journeys. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, if a man does not work, let him not eat. What are we to do with our earnings? Well, Proverbs, again, chapter 11, verse 25, says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that generosity is contagious? You've proved it, Parkway Baptist Church, particularly over the last few years, and being able to give and provide for the many ministries of Parkway that continue to grow and continue to be a part of kingdom work, because you know you have a reason to give to the church and to the Lord. Thank you for using what we consider the wisdom of Proverbs. So what's our lesson, our basic lesson? Good work ethic and be generous. It's a basic lesson we learn from Proverbs. Remember, we're doing the basics. Kind of like this is a football. Don't drop it. Is it too soon for that? How about, okay, Lord, let's ask. Lord, teach us the basics of the tongue. Teach us the basics of the tongue. The Bible in the Old Testament tells us the dangers or the misuse of our words and also how to use our words properly. You might remember that Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Meaning, it's what's in your heart. It's who you are as a person in Christ that should be reflected in what you say. James said, the tongue is like a fire, meaning that can set a fire and keep burning, but not in a good way. And then he goes on to say, out of the mouth comes blessings and cursings, and this should not be. We'll read what Solomon wrote, and he wrote a lot. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Still got your Bibles open. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Now, the wink of the eye means probably somebody's telling a lie. As if there's a victim, and he's telling the victim one thing, but he's winking at somebody else who's maybe his accomplice in what's taking place. So the liar and the babbling fool will come to ruin. Babbling meaning someone who talks way too much. Didn't your mama ever tell you to listen more and speak less? That's why you got two ears and one mouth. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And more, some of the most practical advice in all of Scripture outside of the gospel in John 3:16 may be found in Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. I've read this many, many times. I wonder sometimes why I can't put this into practice more. And there are many, many more, but I've kind of restrained to say just a couple for today. Many of these we've read, we've kind of expressed it in the negative. What not to do, don't talk too much, don't lie, don't put others down. Well, the New Testament tells us our words are instead, they are to edify, they are to build others up and not tear them down. Max Licato in his book, The Anvil, gives five ideas that help us to control our tongue. Number one, never say anything about someone that you wouldn't say to his or her face. Number two, never say anything about someone unless he or she is there to respond. Number three, refuse to listen to someone else's gossip. Number four, initiate positive statements about people from whom you are discussing. And number five, remember James 3:6, the tongue is a fire. So here's the lesson. Maybe you just need to ask, WWJS, what would Jesus say? Or ask the question, WWJHYS, what would Jesus have you say? All speech either points to Jesus or it points away from Jesus. And we want to use our words to point other people to Jesus, edify others in his name. Well, let's ask the question with a teachable spirit. Lord, teach us the basics of relationships. Obviously, this is a big subject. Proverbs talks a lot about it, and we could say a lot today. Fortunately, two weeks ago, we talked about family relationships and Proverbs. And so, but here are some Proverbs that help us with all kinds of relationships. And one of those is the last verse that we read a moment ago, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, to where it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Truthfully, we could stop right here. Hatred causes strife, but godly, Christ-like, agape love covers all offenses. Christ exemplified this kind of love. We're on a quest to love like Jesus. And you might remember that Jesus said that all the law and the prophets are summed up in the two greatest commandments. The greatest commandment being love God, and the second being love our neighbor. Proverbs helps us know how to treat our neighbor. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Boy, I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but you're doing well hanging in there. Most of you look like you're really looking at me, and that's good. Proverbs 11, verses 12 and 13 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. There's the tongue again. Verse 13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. Someone said, I believe that the three of us could keep a secret as long as I don't tell the two of you. Well, trust in a relationship is about as important as love. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers wants. This may have been good under work and money, but what do we have so far? Well, we recognize that we need to show love, and we need to trust, be trustworthy, as well as trust others. And then also we find we need to be generous and not stingy toward others. And when we have the means and we are able, we are to help others. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You might remember the New Testament says, be angry, but do not sin. You're going to be angry sometimes, and it's probably going to involve somebody that you know. Well, we have some great advice here. Talk softly. I'm pretty sure it does not mean to quietly cuss them out, but instead say kind words. Even if you don't feel like it, say kind words. And then, I used to think that this verse meant that a soft answer turns away wrath. I used to think, you know, if I could say kind words, then that will turn away their wrath. But I've come to find out by practice that if instead of saying how I feel, that if I say kind words, it actually will turns away my wrath. In the New Testament, we're told, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, speaking of relationships. Proverbs tells us many things of what you should do. This verse in the New Testament tells us why you should do it. It is because of what Jesus did for you. You see, how Jesus treated you and how Jesus is treating you, that's how we're supposed to treat others as well, because of what Jesus did. Whether you're feeling it or not. And pretty soon, if you can go ahead and direct your words or direct your actions in a way that you know pleases Jesus, whether you feel it or not, pretty soon you will feel it. Sir, pretty soon you will feel much more like what Jesus would have you feel. So what's the lesson? Here's the basics. The love of Jesus reconciles relationships. The love of Jesus reconciles relationships. Oh, I've got one more. There's several in this chapter alone, but here's another one. The Lord, let's ask the Lord. Lord, teach us something about the basics of rewards. Teach us the basics of rewards. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Tempest is sometimes translated as whirlwind, actually means when the judgment comes. It says, when that happens, the wicked, those who are without Christ, will be no more. But the righteous, those in Christ, what they desire, that will be granted. We're going to talk more about what the saved desire. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. It says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. So there is a reward. So what does that include? Would you like to know what the reward includes? Oh, we got just a few minutes left. I think we can do this. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, just a few pages back. And have some more well-known verses as well, but let's take a look. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Man, you're really turning, or you got that app that sounds like you're turning. That's good. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Now, there is practical advice given in Proverbs that could add more life, even length of days perhaps, but the greater reward is peace. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But don't pursue peace. Peace comes because you pursue the Prince of Peace. Oh, we could say a lot more, but let's go and read the next couple of verses. Verses 3 and 4. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. if notice the so there, part of the verse, if you do this, this will happen thus. If you follow these instructions, well, you'll have godly character. You'll be known by reputation, not of how good you are, but how you point to Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, some of the more well-known verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Not that your days and years will always be easy, but He'll give you a purpose and a plan to follow. He will make your path so you can see the way in which the Lord would have you to go. Remember now, we're not doing this so that we'll be saved, so we might be able to get to heaven, but for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus, He wants to give us purpose and plan, even in the difficult days. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Again, there are practical things that if you do these things, you know, it is the Baptist creed, I think. Don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do. And there's some practical wisdom there that, you know, maybe help your health and those kinds of things that would maybe be a help. And it's a help anyway, but it says, notice the strength it'll give to your bones. It's an inner strength that comes from submitting to the Holy Spirit in you. And when we have that inner strength, don't you feel healthier? There's no promise of health, you understand, in this life. We live in this fallen world. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we're talking about reward. What are the rewards? Well, this chapter paints it for us. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth. Again, talking about money and finances and with the first fruits of your produce. Give of the first fruits. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Sounds like a pretty good promise. But we do need to be sure that we overlay the principles that are found in Proverbs with the truths that are found also and goes with this in the New Testament and what Jesus taught as well. If you're serving, seeking to follow the Lord so that you might be able to have bigger barns, well, you're looking for too small a reward. Listen to what Jesus said to His would-be followers in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. It says, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?'" So what is your reward? It's the satisfaction that is found in Jesus in the here and now. Not the satisfaction to be found in this world, anything that we could gain, but a satisfaction found in Him. So under this idea of the Lord teaching us, here are the basics. And going back to the verse we read in Proverbs 10 and 24, the righteous got what they desired. The lesson in Christ, what you desire will be granted. Understanding that in Christ, God's desire will become your desire. You will want more of the things of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. No matter how attractive the wisdom of the world seems, no matter how smart you and I may think that we are, that our wisdom is better, we need to trust in God's wisdom. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is the wisdom of God that tells you how you truly might be able to have life and how you might be able to have life forever with Jesus. And it's only by the blood of Jesus, only because Christ has done it for us, because we could not do it for ourselves, that we must trust in Him. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank You for an opportunity to come and be a part of this worship service. We know that Your name was exalted and prayers that were prayed and the singing and the worship that took place and the baptism. We pray that we may be a church that helps these and many, many more come to know You, be able to grow in their faith and find their place serving You. We thank You, Father, for the wisdom that we can see found in Your Word. We pray that we may be able to see the many practical ways in which we might be able to apply this wisdom, but mostly may we see it as a pursuit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growing in Him every day, becoming more and more like Jesus. We pray that that may happen. We pray, Father, You may give us wisdom in our homes and in our personal life, but give us wisdom in our church and as we move forward. Give us wisdom in this country, Father, how we might be able not just to make a better place for ourselves, but how we might have open doors to share the gospel. May we have wisdom around the world to be a part of sharing the gospel to all. And now we pray, Father, if there's one that more that doesn't know You today, that's here listening today, that today might be the day of their salvation, knowing that truth, wisdom are found in You. This we lift in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to be singing our song of commitment today. We encourage you, if you need to make a decision today, that this may be a decision. Maybe it may just be a commitment that you continue to walk in God's way, seek God's wisdom. But if you need to come today, I'm going to be standing right here worshiping. We've got a couple of our team here that are down here today. They're worshiping. You just come alongside one of us. Maybe you need to say, I'd like to join the church. Maybe you need to come and say, I'd like to give my heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you've already done that, but you've not made it public. You need to come for baptism today. We encourage you. Come and let us know. Our altar is open. If you'd like to come pray or come and pray with one of us, you come as we sing together.